The general manager of the Flames is on the line, Brad Treliving. Brad, no Boomer or Warner today. They have taken the time off. You, though, were busy at work last night signing the deal to Noah Hanifin. I guess, your reaction to the contract that you and the young defenseman were able to put together.
Well, good morning, guys, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, we were obviously excited to get the deal put together. It's taken some time. And probably not unexpectedly. I do want to acknowledge Pat Brisson and his group over at CAA, but really Pat and I had really worked at this for a while, and he was understanding, at least earlier in the summer, with our situation, with some things that we had to take care of that had some timelines attached to them with respect to some arbitration cases. So, you know, like a lot of these, you grind away at it, and we're able to get to a good conclusion last night, and we're ecstatic about the deal and ecstatic to get Noah in here and get going for camp.
The time frame of it does interest me. I will probably never be in a negotiation for a $30 million contract on either side of one, really, but for this negotiation did take a while. What's the communication like? Are you messaging them every day? Do they give you space? Do you give them space? Is there a break? How does the communication for a deal that takes a couple months come together?
Yeah, well, it they're all a little bit different. You know, with this particular situation, obviously we made the trade for Noah as part of the deal we made at the draft, and at that time spoke to Noah and spoke to Pat, and you know, we've got a long history and good relationship with Pat Brisson, so spoke to him at the draft, and we at that particular time sort of mapped out this summer. You know, we had some talks early on. In these cases, when you look at a player in Noah's case, and it's, you know, to educate our fans here, every negotiation is a little bit different. And the first thing you look at is the player's rights. You know, so Noah's a player who's coming off his entry-level contract. First of all, he's without a contract. His contract expired. Player without arbitration rights. So there's no necessarily deadline attached to that. You know, there's not an arbitration date. There's no deadline attached unless you put training camp as your deadline in terms of the start of the season. So as you guys might know, sometimes things take a little bit longer when there's not deadlines attached to them. So, you know, with Pat and Noah, we talked at the draft, went through sort of our plan, and you know, welcome to the organization. And Pat and I talked a little bit about the summer plan, where we were in terms of some of the workload we had this summer, arbitration cases on both sides. And then you just start talking. And really, I'd say the last 3 weeks, we probably talked every day, if not twice a day. And, you know, with this one, you look at different, you know, different options, different terms, different ideas, but you know, the last 6 weeks or so, we've really been focused on seeing if there's something there with term that made sense for both sides. And, you know, there was a real desire to get it done on both sides. And we ended up with the deal we did yesterday.
But between the term and the dollar figure, was it the term that was the biggest sticking point between the two sides?
You know, Peter, I say all the time, there's only two things that take time in getting a contract done. One is term and the other is money. So you're always, you know, outside of that, you usually don't have any disagreements. But you can't have one without the other. So they're tied together. When you're looking at, you know, you're looking at the player's rights. You look at, you know, the player like Noah, he's 3 years in the league. So, you know, when his free agency status comes up, it's either accrued 7 years or 27 years old. Well, when you get into the league at 18, you're probably going to hit the UFA market on a accrued basis versus an age basis. So, you know, he's 4 years from UFA. And obviously we wanted to tie up some of those years when you start talking about terms. So they're intertwined. You know, when you're talking about getting the term that we did for a young player that we think has got considerable growth left and quite frankly has accomplished quite a bit. You know, the thought that this player may not have hit or done or be where he's supposed to be, it's a very short list of players that jump into the league, play that position at 18, 19, and 20. You know, that's a short conversation. So he's actually quite accomplished for his age in this league, and we think he's just scratching the surface. So term and money always are intertwined, and once we got to that 6-year term, we were able to, you know, make the dollars work.
The conversation around this player is a very interesting one, because obviously he comes in a high-profile move, hasn't played a game with the team, and as you mentioned, very young but experienced in this league, and we're all assuming there's going to be a number of steps forward for this particular player. Does that add a bit of trickiness to the negotiations, because you're really talking about what could be instead of what has been so far?
Well, to a certain extent, but that's not unlike any negotiation. You look at every player, you know, a young player that's signing, and you look at the makeup of the league now and how the dollars are being appropriated. You know, you're trying to manage your payroll, but you see younger players. The league has gotten obviously considerably younger. You're seeing younger players signing at top younger players signing at bigger dollar amounts. And that's when you boil everything down and peel the onion back, the job is to evaluate the player and make an assessment on where the player is now, where you think his ceiling may be, and where the growth is. So obviously, we feel very comfortable that where Noah is right now as a player, but feel very comfortable with the trajectory and the growth that's still available for him in his game. And a little unique in the sense that you didn't have him under your wing here, at least from our perspective. Now we've got some internal intelligence, obviously, with Bill and having coached them the past 3 seasons, and you know, we scouted that team fairly heavily. We've got one of our Eastern scouts, Steve Plo, you know, has watched this guy throughout his pro career. We go back to a real big book of business on him when he was an amateur. But the fact of the matter is, he hasn't been with us. We don't, you know, he hasn't played for us. So there's a little bit of uniqueness. But for a player who hadn't played within the organization, I think we've got as much internal intelligence through our coaching staff and scouting staff as you possibly could have. But his contract is no different than a lot of young players' contracts. That you're evaluating the now, but you're evaluating where this player could go to, you know, 1, 2, 4, and 6 years from now.
In conversation with the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving, here on Boomer and Warner in the morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Peter Klein. He's Logan Gordon.
Brad, I'm curious about one thing, a trend we've seen around the league, especially with young players with RFA status, the decision on whether or not to go to a bridge deal for a couple years or going long term, maybe not specifically with Noah, but how do you see that trend in the NHL, and how does it affect when you're negotiating? Are players looking for that kind of thing, or is it really just what the two sides can come to?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's everybody's sort of got a feeling one way or another. I mean, at the end of the day, from a team standpoint, you're evaluating, you know, you're doing a cost analysis, and as I said earlier, you're doing a player analysis. So the bridge versus the term, when you're investing in Noah's case, you talk a little bit about the investment. This is, you know, we feel all things considered, the player, the personality, the character of the guy, where we think his growth is going to be. We feel, hopefully in not too distant future, that we're going to be looking back and say, this is a really good deal for the Calgary Flames. Having said that, it's a significant investment that we've made, a significant investment in the player. And so when you look at the bridge versus the long-term deal, there's always a number of factors. Is, you know, first of all, you look at the cap space that you may have available. Where financially, how does it fit within your salary structure? You look at, you know, pricing that out. So if you were to say, okay, we've got player X and we're gonna 2-year bridge him at X amount, you know, if that player is to perform over the course of that bridge to a level that you think he's capable of, well, what does the term deal look like after that? And are you better off to place your bet a little bit earlier? Pay a little bit more now, but you're saving on the back end, if you will. And mm-hmm. You know, in today's day and game, so if you do a bridge deal, those players, then he's going to come out, for the most part, if you're talking about a player at Noah's age, he's going to come out with arbitration rights. You have to set a number and say, well, we think he's going to accomplish this in terms of his production and ice time. An arbitration award 3 years from now would look like this. And, you know, if you've got a player that you think is going to produce points, you think is going to produce significant minutes on ice, those numbers aren't going to get any cheaper. And as our cap continues to grow, as there's a inflation and a percentage of the cap each year continues to grow, you have to really, all those things come into consideration. So as much as you look at how does the dollars compare today in a one-for-one, you know, bridge versus a long-term deal, you're projecting out this thing 2, 3, 4, and 5 years and beyond. So that's really where you, the homework and the analysis that you get into. So having said all that, we come back and say we feel that we want to place our bet here now. We feel this player, if he does nothing else but continue to be what he is right now, we think it's a solid bet, but just a real young, developing 21-year-old defenseman who's you know, elitely driven to be a real top player. We think we still think there's a lot more of the growth there. So we feel it's you know, this is was a deal that made sense for us.
You've answered part of this throughout the questions we've asked you already, but I am curious about the process of signing two RFAs to long-term deals when neither one of them have played for your team previously. Is that a difficult thing? Are you really leaning towards your pro scouts? And I mean, usually you don't have the knowledge of a coach who's coached them as closely as Bill Peters has, but how does that process work, Brad, when you've got two guys that haven't suited up for your team before, but you know are going to be important pieces going forward?
Yeah, it's a little unique. I would be, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you it's a little unique. Now, it's getting less unique with me because I've done it before. When we had Hamilton here, we signed him to, you know, a long-term contract. He hadn't played a game with us. And I think the contract, you know, it turned out to be a good one and receive value for it. So no question, it's unique. You're right in saying that we've got a little internal intelligence with Bill. You know, you go back, you're leaning on your scouting staff, you're leaning on yourself. You know, we had an interest in these players for a long period of time. So we've gone and we've sat on them here for, you know, quite a long time in terms of watching them. Obviously, you go back and you break down everything that they do video-wise in terms of their shifts and all the different specific areas of the game. So you're real detailed on that. And then really probably more than anything else, you're really trying to dig in on the people. And I think that's a big factor. When you're making a significant investment, when you're spending this kind of dollars, obviously you're investing in the player and where you think his performance is going to be, but you're investing in the individual. And, you know, that's as much as we think these are real good players and they're young players, we think they're still uptick to their potential. These are quality guys that are driven to be real good players. They take their craft seriously, and they're driven and to win. And, you know, you talk to any of the people around both of these players, and they, like I said, they're character people that want to get better, are excited to be in Calgary, and are at that stage now as they're entering, although they've been in the league for a while, they're young pros. The winning part of it is at the top of the list for them. When you first break in the league, you're trying to break in and survive and make a name for yourself, and then you reach a stage where you say, you know what, we want to have team success here. And both of those guys are driven by team success, and we think they're going to turn out to be good investments for us moving forward.
Training camp is right around the corner now. Maybe the last big piece of the puzzle was that Noah Hanifin signing for you guys. I would look at the roster, Brad, and I would say that you made a concerted effort this offseason to make battles for players coming up. There are spots to be won on this lineup, but certainly if someone doesn't step up, there are other players there that can do that. Was that a concerted effort by you and your team this offseason to create battles and make different options for your coaching staff?
Yeah, no question. I mean, we wanted, one of the things coming into the year is we looked at two things. We looked at, you know, adding certain people in specific roles. We felt strongly that we needed to add, however you want to break down a lineup. I look at more things as a top nine, but, you know, top end players in your top six, specifically on the right side, you know, since I've been here, the right side has been, you know, an area of concern. We've tried to address it in different manners, but we felt adding people that can produce offense in a top six, top nine role, that can play the right side, was a priority for us. We wanted to be stronger and deeper down the middle. I've spoken for a long time that I think you successful winning teams are strong down the middle and have depth down the middle, and I think you can see that not only with, you know, the four centermen that you may say that can line up, but I look at my board right now and there's seven or eight guys that either are natural centers or have played center in their careers or natural centermen, to be perfectly honest with you. So as you get into the year and as injuries may come about, you know, you can find ways to patch holes on the wing. It's difficult to try to patch holes down the middle. So we wanted to be strong down the middle. And as you said, we wanted to have depth. We wanted to have, there should be competition. There should be a challenge each night. And we wanted to arm our coaches with enough, you know, tools in their toolbox that you can move people around. And, you know, quite frankly, that's probably something we didn't give the benefit, you know, last year or give enough tools to our staff to put people in different situations if, you know, things aren't going well. So I think there's going to be considerable competition in terms of filling out your roster, in terms of, you know, where people who make the team. But then even more so, I think, is considerable competition within the team, whether it be specialty times or ice time or, you know, playing in certain roles or, like I said, power play or penalty killing ice time. And that's how you grow. That's, you know, that's how you become a good team. As you, I said before, you need a bottom push for people within your organization. We've got young players that are, you know, everybody thinks they've got young players and people talk about young players that are ready to play. Well, we really have people that are now have gone through the steps that I think are legitimately ready to push for full-time duty here and make an impact if they stay here. And then we've got people that are pushing to, you know, grab a little bit bigger bite of the apple here and get more ice time and try to push up higher in the lineup. So those are all good things, and that's how you become a good team. But it looks good on paper. We got to get it to the doing it on the ice part, which is the most important part.
Is there anything left roster-wise for you to do ahead of training camp? Any PTOs or anything that you guys are looking at?
Yeah, as you guys know, it's a little bit of a unique camp for us this year with us going to China. So we'll have, you know, a group going to China. We'll have two groups back here. And so we're looking at a couple of PTOs, you know, in terms of our camp and still, you know, adding some competition for our roster, but really, you know, filling out our camp roster. So there's a couple of those that will be forthcoming. And then you continue to look and see if there's different ways to improve yourself. And, you know, as we get to Labor Day here, everybody's sort of back. You know, there's more conversations going on in the league as everybody's sort of getting back and preparing for camp. So it's getting closer and we're excited to get going.
The main focus for a lot of Flames fans, it's funny, you just lock up a guy who's going to be a pretty key piece of the Flames' future moving forward, and the fan reaction is, oh, hey, that's awesome. So on to the next thing now. Matthew Tkachuk is a RFA at the end of this upcoming season. A lot of people looking at that as kind of the next big thing on the to-do list. Has there been a lot of conversation between your side and the Tkachuk side?
Geez, we just finished lunch, and you guys are asking what's for dinner. I mean, like...
You just finished breakfast, and we're asking what's for dinner.
You're pulling the plates off the table, and you're ready to start serving dinner. I'm not going to get into what may or may not be taking place in terms of discussions. Matthew, obviously, he's still got a year left on his contract. He's a... anybody that follows our team or watches our team, has been for his 2 years at the ripe old age of 19 and 20 years old, been a real important player for us and will only continue to be more, be important. He's going to be a Calgary Flame for a long time. He embodies a lot of what we're all about as an organization and as a team. So, those are things that we're well aware of what his contractual status is. And we're not going to let it, they won't be surprised that it, in terms of finding out how much time he's got left. And, you know, those are things that we'll be looking at and to try to estimate or speculate in terms of timelines and all that. We'll just keep that between us and his representative. But I guarantee you guys, if we've got anything to report on, we will be sure to let you know.
Well, glad we gave
you... We won't leave you in the cold.
Well, we appreciate that. We're glad we gave you about 18 minutes to appreciate what you did before we started pestering you about the future. Brad, obviously a busy time of year for you, as every time of year is. Thank you for doing this today. Really appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a great day. Thanks,
you as Brad. Well. That is the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving.